following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, a Thursday edition, and we are on the road here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth at the UNK Health and Sports Center for the annual Winter Sports Luncheon. Loper Luncheons are held throughout the year, and twice a year they bring together the fall sports and then this time of year the winter sports, which includes Kearney High and Kearney Catholic coaches and some players, and they will be speaking to the crowd, and that crowd can include you. Lunch served today starting at 11:45. The program will start right about noon, and we'll be talking about all the sports from basketball and wrestling to swimming and everything else that's going on with a little track. Brady Bonzo will be here as well for UNK to talk about that. And each coach will talk somewhere in that five-minute range. We'll have you out of here by 1 o'clock. So come on down and join us here today at the UNK Health and Sports Center. Have a little runs and lunch and have your
25 bucks.
Have your day on the way.
Yeah, there you go.
Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you here today. We are scheduled to be joined by Athletic Director Paul Plinsky to talk about the Lopers. He's just back from the MIAA Athletic Directors meetings. We'll see what came out of that. Obviously, the big question on most people's minds, how is the UNK football coaching search coming at this point? So we'll ask him about that. Of course, Luke Huber will be with us towards the end of the program to answer your fantasy football questions from RotoWire, RotoWire.com. So if you've got a question for Luke or a question for Mr. Plinsky, or you want to talk about Nebraska basketball, when you know you have an underdog coming in that's good and they still get you, and you play the way you do in the last minute.
Oh, last minute was horrible.
Everything that could have went wrong, but you can't lose. And as one of the tweets said out there, if Nebraska somehow finds its way on the bubble at the end of the year, everybody's going to hear about Incarnate Word, and it's just going to keep you. It's just a dagger. It's a dagger. You can lose to a school you've heard of. You can't lose to schools you haven't, but it has happened quite a bit to Big Ten teams at home, Michigan, New Jersey, Institute of Technology, and on down the line. Also, the biggest shock, I think more shocking than that, is that Gary Anderson leaving Wisconsin to take the Oregon State job. And if you would like to tweet us, it's at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550. Of course, the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. And, of course, as always, the Dent Popper inbox for all your emails, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Randy, what sticks out to you?
Well, the Gary Anderson thing is, it just is a head-scratcher. I mean, it just, to me, it doesn't make sense. It's one of the best programs in the Big Ten. Arguably right now, the best program in the Western Division of the Big Ten Conference. And you go to Oregon State, where it's been very difficult to recruit people and bring people in. And, we, you know, Riley excited to come to Nebraska because of all the extra amenities, the extra name recognition, just the other things that Nebraska football is able to bring to bear. Oregon State didn't have those things. And then you go from a program that right now is better than what Nebraska's is. Let's be honest. It's Wisconsin's program is better than what Nebraska's is right now. Maybe doesn't have the history, but right now in 2014, they're in better shape. And you leave that, what is probably a better program than Nebraska, to go to Oregon State. It just is a head scratcher. It makes you wonder what's going on behind closed doors a little bit. You know, I guess we hear all sorts of rumors. I wonder what Barry Alvarez is like to work for since they've lost two head coaches in the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's strange because a lot of people were shocked that Brett Bielema left. You can understand that, though, going to the SEC.
Well, going to the SEC, yeah.
And getting Arkansas going, but then his name surfaced for the Nebraska job, whether that's true. And, of course, there's more rumors.
Doesn't sound like that had anything
right
to it
now.
No.
But this is just a head-scratcher. We've heard all about Mike Riley leaving and all the things that he didn't have. In fact, some of the guys saying that Oregon State's facilities, I mean, Sean Callahan said on Big Red Wrap-Up this week that they're comparable to Fresno State, and then chuckled and turned to Matt Davison and said, well, we saw what those were like, which means nada.
Not very good, yeah.
So Gary Anderson has more ties to the West, but, you know, you can grow up in Kearney and live in Cheyenne or Denver. That's still not across the street. So I don't get it at all, and I think it's very, very baffling out there. And now the question is, wow, Nebraska, Michigan, Wisconsin all will have new head football coaches next year. And which job would you rather have, Wisconsin or Michigan? I think everybody will say Michigan, but Wisconsin's got some winners there right now.
They do, and again, the losing Gordon, since he's going to turn pro, that takes a little luster off of that job. It'd be a nice little backup plan for you there. You know, you got a nice little cushion there if you've got Gordon to hand the ball off to next year. But in any event, it's still going to be a premier job. Both Michigan and Wisconsin still going to be very good jobs, not as premier as the opening at Florida. Michigan is still one of the more historic programs in the country. There's going to be a lot of really good names there. They have enough money that they can afford to get whatever coach. They can win a lot of bidding wars if it comes down to that. But the longer you wait, the less likely you are to land that big fish out there. And that's one reason why Florida made the decision as early as they did.
Will this help Nebraska in any way that now Wisconsin's looking as well at all the recruits out there? Are they in a little trouble?
Well, there's the potential that maybe the replacement for Gary Anderson isn't as good of a coach as Gary Anderson was, and he proved to be a pretty good football coach. So you have that opportunity. Maybe they're not going to be as good, but you also run the risk that maybe they're going to find somebody that is going to be even that much better. So it's kind of the fear of the known versus fear of the unknown a little bit with that. But it just makes you wonder a little bit about the fact that they've lost two head coaches in the last 2 years.
Well, it'll definitely be interesting. I think it's always tough if you don't get it done before the Christmas rush. I don't talk about shopping, but when school's out and when everybody wants to be leaving campus for 3 or 4 weeks, I think that's tough no matter where you're at.
Yeah, and there's some different timing issues that kind of come out with all that as well.
Well, Paul Plinsky, the athletic director at the University of Nebraska, Kearney, is keeping very busy with meetings and getting ready for the end of the 2014 part of the year, but that's not the end of his year. And he is joining us here at the UNK Health and Sports Center for our Loper Winter Sports Luncheon today. And again, we invite you to come out and join us. And good morning, Mr. Plinsky.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay, but I didn't have meetings. I didn't know it was required to wear a suit and tie around here either, Todd Gatula.
Yeah. Todd looks awfully sharp, doesn't he?
He looks like Keith Mann or Jeff Jamrock falling around. He needs to follow around out there. Paul, let's get to the topic of you were just at the MIAA meetings. What'd you learn? What do you got for us?
Well, we had a lot of different discussions. You know, it started with concluding the fall sports seasons. So at the conclusion of every season, the coaches have a chance to get together and they start talking about things that they want to change or do differently for the future. So they make proposals for the athletic directors to look at, and then the athletic directors will either approve or deny those, or even in some cases remand those back to them. And then those proposals will then move on to the faculty athletic reps and the chancellors and presidents, and then they'll ultimately decide. But we talked about football, volleyball, soccer, and cross country. Had a good meeting. The conversation with football revolved around the Thursday night events and whether or not we should promote those and have Thursday night contests. And I think the consensus is that we should. It draws better attendance and people have enthusiasm to come out on a Thursday night, and it also avoids some of the Division I games that are going on in the area. So it was a good move for us to continue to do that. Our schedule for 2015 is basically just a flip of the 2014 schedule. So instead of going to Northwest Missouri State, we get to host Northwest Missouri State. And same with, you know, Central Missouri and Pittsburgh State and Missouri Western, and we'll have a good schedule next year. But then in 2016-17, it'll essentially reverse itself and flip through again. But there's conversation about that. Conversations about volleyball, whether to have 16 conference games or 18 or 22. And we decided on 18 out of a maximum of 26 so that the program can go out and get as many non-conference games as they can to be able to build their strength of schedule. So a lot of those kind of discussions. It was good dialogue and a good process that we have to go through. But I'm just anxious to get back to campus because we have a lot to do here at home, and we're ready to finish off this 2014 year.
Before I ask you the question whether or not there's a head football coach under the tree for Christmas coming up here, you talked about Thursday night for football. But probably one of the other discussions for volleyball, besides how many regular season games, also postseason tournament. Was there kind of a discussion about the future of that?
Great question. We actually did have a lengthy conversation about it because we wanted to listen to the coaches and what they had to present for ideas. And you know, they're the ones that are really grinding it out and are figuring what they need to do to be as competitive as possible. And if you look at the MIAA, Central Missouri, Nebraska Kearney, they call us Nebraska Kearney, incidentally.
You might want to fork on them on that.
Exactly. And then Washburn have been three of the strongholds in the league. And us three have predominantly spoken up about different things that we're trying to get accomplished. And the conference tournament is definitely something that the coaches want to retain. They feel like if you find a true champion, and it will enable our conference to identify that person for the NCAA to select as an automatic qualifier. But we also need to have flexibility to build our strength of schedule, because a lot of the MIAA schools are beating up on each other and they're defeating each other, so our win-loss records are going down, whereas in the Northern Sun, Minnesota Duluth and Concordia St. Paul and Southwest Minnesota State, who finished national runner-up, who beat us, they're sliding through with a lot of victories because they're not as strong from top to bottom as we are. So we really need to get those teams in our competitive schedule, but also have the conference tournament that will enable us to have a true champion and be able to identify with clarity who our top teams are so that we can position them well for the national tournament.
You mentioned that those schools that are very good at volleyball were asking that question. Does UNK carry a little bit more weight when it comes to volleyball? Does the conference kind of weigh in on that?
The conference actually turns to us quite frequently with volleyball for a couple different reasons. One is because Jamie Lundgren serves on the NCAA's regional ranking committee. Second of all, is Rick Squires is a highly regarded individual in the MIAA, and our team has done extraordinarily well in each of the years that we've been in the MIAA, and they have high regard for us, and so they love the fact that we won a couple of years ago and were able to host the conference tournament, because we draw really well, and that is good for the conference because that's revenue for them to generate. This last year, that as you know, we didn't have a conference tournament because of the NCAA's Fall Festival, but we'll be back into the conference tournament next year. But they lean on us a lot, as well as Central Missouri and Washburn, to kind of guide things, as does Northwest Missouri State and Pittsburgh State in football. So you got to imagine that the schools that are strong get kind of the attention and sometimes the preferential treatment, but that's a product of winning.
Talking to Paul Plinsky, the athletic director here at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. We're live at the Health and Sports Center for the Winter Sports Luncheon, which will get underway just before 12 noon today. We invite you to come down. UNK, Kearney High, Kearney Catholic, all represented here today. And before we get to that question, because I know we're going to have breaking news, and that's what the tease is called here in our radio business. Paul, what about I get the feeling, and I think it's more than a feeling, that the Loper coaches don't care for the Fall Festival, plus – when you've been talking about volleyball, I always bring up the regionalization. Mm-hmm. So
were either one of those addressed about the MIAA putting a voice forward about regionalization and the festivals that the NCAA has?
The MIAA as a body has a voice with the NCAA, not only because of our schedule, strength of schedules, the success we've had in postseason play. They also regard us because we're a centrally located conference, and they feel like what we say really matters and it counts in the future of Division II athletics. But you have to kind of go back to D2 athletics and recognize that, you know, life in the balance, regionalization are two major tenets that the presidents years and years ago put into place and firmly believe in. And so the concept of regionalization is, you know, keeps us where literally our region, and especially in volleyball, had probably six out of the top 10 teams in the country were in one region, which really doesn't make sense. And you don't see it in Division I, and it's confusing to all of us. And and it seems very unfair because here we are, we finished the season ranked top five in the country, and yet we can't even make it to the national championships. And that's unfortunate, but it all goes back to regionalization. And so I don't know if that will ever change, even though we continue to ask it to be an item for conversation at the level of the NCAA. But the other one is the Fall Festival, and Division II firmly believes in it. And every 4 years they conduct a Fall Festival where they get all the championship sports together for that sports season, and they do it at one central location.
When you say Division II believes in it, yet, I know they don't hear. Who are you speaking of that Division II? Are the schools in the Southeast, the West, or is this just the folks in the office?
It's a national survey that they've done that they continue to claim that people like regionalization and they like the festival. And we scratch our heads because everyone we talk to, especially in our conference, is opposed to both of those. And so I think they'll probably take another vote down the road here to figure out where that regionalization idea how it looks, and then they'll also look at, you know, what to do with the Fall Festival. But it's our feeling, you know, in all of our sports that we would like to break away from regionalization, even though it will cost more money for the NCAA, and we would like to get away from the festival. But the NCAA is on it, so we have to support it, and we have to follow it.
Well, and I've said it before, it seems the areas of the country weak in volleyball are pretty excited for regionalization because it gives one of those weak teams in, and the strong teams in the central region aren't there. Again, the elephant in the room is the search for the new head football coach at UNK. So let's get to that. Where exactly are you, and is it the schedule that you kind of had in your mind coming into this?
First of all, what a wonderful question. You know, I mean, it's just a tremendous amount of excitement that I feel personally, but I think that a lot of people in the Kearney community and beyond feel. The process has gone exceptionally well. I am so proud of how things have gone to this point, and feel just a great sense of peace that we have done everything we can to make sure that we turn over every stone and that we're as thorough as we possibly can throughout this whole process. And you know, we revert back to, you know, November 15th when we all sat down in the Zickman room, and I outlined what I was hoping would become the plan for the future of Loper football. And I did that not to disparage anybody in the past or put anybody in a position where they felt like Coach Morris didn't get that support, but it was meant to lay a platform for where we have to go if we're ever going to be competitive in the MIAA. And I think that there's been mixed view on that concept and what people think about it, but at the end of the day, I needed to lay a platform. And so starting on the 15th, we had individuals apply for the job, and we are now at 125 people, and the quality in the pool is tremendous, and it's truly been an exceptional group of individuals that are excited about UNK and the city of Kearney, and that is a tribute to this university and to the city. People want to be here, and they see UNK and specifically Loper football as a gold mine. And I've heard it from over and over and over again from the individuals that I've talked to. So you're saying, well, how in the world do you get 125 people down to a manageable number? Well, we do that just by spending time and reviewing all the applicants, and every one of them sends in a cover letter, a resume, and a list of references. And And there are certain characteristics that we're specifically looking for as we review these applicants. And now we've narrowed it down. And we've been, I personally have been making calls to a significant group of people. And I spend anywhere from an hour to 2 hours just talking about the state of affairs of Loper football and talking about the university and the city of Kearney, and then asking them if they have a growing interest in the job. And all of them typically will reply that they do. And then we take a step further and say, okay, is there an opportunity that we would have to sit down and meet face to face so that we can get to know each other? And so that has been taking place as well. And so we're in the process of interviewing people, going through reference checks, reviewing the backgrounds, and also we're in conversations with the NCAA because they're doing infraction reviews of individuals to see if they're at institutions or if they as an individual have experienced some things in their background that will put up a red flag for us.
Talking with just another couple minutes with Paul Plinski, athletic director at UNK, and the next coach is?
Next coach.
How close are we?
We'll be coming soon. I'm continuing to stay focused on that January 1st deadline that I put on myself, but you know, our good friends over in Lincoln really pushed the envelope, and as you saw the news of Gary Anderson jumping over to replace Mike at Oregon State. I mean, it's quite amazing what's going on in Division I football, but I'm feeling the sense of urgency, not only because you guys are asking the questions, but more importantly, because our student athletes want to know, because they want to be able to go into their break, having an idea of who their next coach is going to be and being able to just have a sense of peace about it and be ready to come back and start work for next year's football season.
And we've seen this with the interview process at Nebraska, the rumors that kind of come out. And I think one of the first ones that ever came out was that Coach Leopold from Wisconsin-Whitewater might very well be a candidate here at UNK. Obviously, that's not going to happen because he's heading up to Division I Buffalo. Was he ever on a list, or was he a contact? Was he somebody they had in the back of your mind?
Lance and I are tremendous friends. We have continued to stay in touch throughout the entire process, and I've told a number of people this in the office that have asked about Lance. I've told every one of the individuals that I've talked to about this job, especially before Lance took the Buffalo job. I said, Lance and I said our goodbyes back in the fall of 2013 have a tremendous amount of respect for each other, but we didn't want to try to reinvent Whitewater at another institution, and we knew that was probably our last opportunity to do that. And so I knew his sights were set on a Division I opportunity, and my sights were set on what's best for the University of Nebraska-Kearney, and we were fine with that. We were both very excited for each other and the opportunities that we have to go our separate ways. But throughout his entire process with Danny White, the athletic director at Buffalo, and throughout my entire process, we've been able to bounce ideas off each other and help each other through the situation. So as I said to him, you know, an hour before he was going to take the job at Buffalo, I said, we're friends in this, Lance. And if you ever need anything, I'm here to help you. But we continue to be friends and support each other. So I think that in the back of my mind, was he ever a candidate for this job? Yes. But as I've taken a step back, his sights were set on another thing than what would be appropriate for UNK. And so I'm totally fine with that, and I believe that he is too as well.
Paul, obviously it doesn't matter what the coaching search is. If it was Nebraska, it's going to be a much bigger chat board, rumor mill, everybody mm-hmm. talking mm-hmm. than it will be at this level. But yet there are still names out there. There are still discussions out there. So I know you won't comment specifically, but you do have the unique relationship down in Lincoln, and we have heard some names of maybe folks that were on the Husker staff, which would be very interesting. Could you comment if you have talked to anyone on that staff, and if anyone, if you've narrowed down a finalist list to this point?
It wouldn't be fair to identify that I've talked to individuals from the staff of the University of Nebraska. It's fair to say that I have met face-to-face with individuals, and I've spent a significant amount of time reviewing a number of different people. It's really important to me as we look at this position that we find someone that cares for our athletes, someone who can coach X's and O's, somebody that can build a family within the context of our athletic department. And then as I've kind of narrowed it down, I've said, you know what, it's the ties to the state of Nebraska resonate, you know, and that's important to me. And I know I don't have personally the ties to the state. I do through my wife, but at the same time, the connection here with the sport of football, which is really big, and people want to have that tie and that connection to a person from Nebraska, is really resonates and sticks out. And that's something that we've been focusing on. So as we've taken the 125 and narrowed it down, we've been able to really focus in on guys, and whether they've been in Lincoln or on the campus of the University of Nebraska-Kearney or somewhere in the state, I've had a conversation with them. I can promise you that. And so I'm excited about all those interactions and on the feedback that I've been getting from people about all the individuals that have touched our state and have made a difference in our state.
You've already touched on one of the things I wanted to ask about, and that was whether or not, you know, being kind of central Nebraska kind of located, how important that was. Are you finding individuals that you kind of feel that people are going to recognize who that is? So they're going to know how they're kind of intermingled into the Loper football program and into the Nebraska football family?
The beauty of the state of Nebraska is that it's almost like we're all only two people away from somebody that we know. And I really appreciate that, and I think that's the exciting thing about the search is that we're able to identify a group of people that have the strong Nebraska tie that can make a significant difference on this campus. And so then as I go through this, I've got to take the next step and say, is this person, no matter where they're from, but if they do have Nebraska ties, are they a good fit? Are they going to be a perfect fit? Are they going to be an exact fit? And that's the process that we're going through right now as we turn every stone and try to review everything from A to Z. And so that's why it's been taking so long, because I want to make sure that we are doing a thorough review in all aspects and that we're ready to do this the right way.
Have you had time to get your Christmas shopping done?
No, unfortunately, there has not been one gift purchased.
I got my first one yesterday, so I'm on pace. That's the normal pace for always. Paula, I know you're busy. We've got the luncheon. Anything else that you want the Loper fans to know before we let you go?
Well, we are rounding off the fall sports season, I guess, and partly the winter sports season, you know, with men's and women's basketball, wrestling going at it, but really excited about where we're at. I know we lost a tough one last night over in Omaha against Bellevue. But our men's basketball team will be chomping at the bit here, and it would be great if they could finish real strong before they get into the break. On January 3rd, we open up against Central Missouri, the defending national champs here in the Health and Sports Center. And then we've got a track meet this weekend, and we've got we've got wrestling going at it. So a lot of exciting things that are going on this campus that we hope that people will pay attention to and continue to be of interest to them and get over here and be able to help us support what we're trying to do.
And Monday night basketball, the men take on Hastings. That's always and still is a very good rivalry. Paul Plinsky, athletic director at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, thanks for squeezing us in today and giving us some
pleasure time
and happy holidays.
Yeah, thanks for contacting me. Appreciate it, guys.
Good luck.
Thanks, Paul.
Paul Plinsky continues to try and track down the next football coach here at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. And I just kind of thought maybe he'd just walk him out here tonight.
It didn't happen, did it?
I don't know.
You know, he walked out with Gatula. I'm just glad it's not Todd Gatula. I'm just saying that right now. That would not be good.
He might be in a secret room around here. You know, Dick Collins had quite a few places to hide around here, so maybe they've got the coach hid somewhere.
Yeah, there are all sorts of nooks and crannies.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talk more sports, and don't forget the Loper Lunch today. UNK, Kearney High, Kearney Catholic coaches and individuals will be here. That starts at noon. They're about ready to serve lunch at 11:45. Here at the Health and Sports Center. More on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
During these difficult times, may we stand united not only for today, but for all time. Go America, and we hope for the day that we live in a world of peace and brotherhood. Happy holidays from the Dent Popper on First Avenue, just north of the railroad in downtown Kearney.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on, North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Here's hoping your holidays are the best ever. The family of Zorp Farms offers this wish for a beautiful holiday season and a new year of peace and happiness. Season's greetings to you and yours.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see lingering low cloud cover and some areas of fog into the day today as temperatures will top off in the lower 40s for highs. South winds, meanwhile, stay at 10 to 15. Tonight, with partly to mostly cloudy skies, we'll head back in the mid-30s. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 34.
Doug and Danny Show rolling on. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth where we are live at the UNK Health and Sports Center getting ready for the winter sports luncheon. Come by and enjoy what the coaches have to say from the Lopers, the Stars, and the Bearcats. And folks, don't forget at Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, they are continuing to expand their staff. Many folks know that they have purchased Killian Motors, and they are moving into that building as well. And they need more help. When you expand, you need more folks to take care of some of the same things they're doing in their normal spots here on South 2nd Avenue. Go to MidwayCareers.com to find out more information. MidwayCareers.com. You see a list of the job. You can even get an application. Fill it out online. Sometimes that's just a whole lot stressful. So check it out, MidwayCareers.com. And if you need to make that year-end purchase of a new or pre-owned vehicle, see the great sales staff at Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Big business could do a whole fleet, you know, by the end of the year for tax purposes. Absolutely.
Is that what you're doing?
No. The Bushcutter fleet is full at the moment.
I've noticed that you've got a variety of different license plates that come in and out of the parking lot. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I try not to drive the same car too often. Yeah. You know, don't want to get too crazy. But, you know, I'm usually with Bob. I'm usually with my car, Bob.
They talked about, I don't even want to ask, they talked about on Hail Varsity yesterday a little bit. I'll bring it up because I don't think it's a big story either, and it's not a big story because it's in Nebraska, and that's our buddy Jack Gangbush getting some publicity. And I said the moment it happened, I said the moment that it was in the newspaper and online and on his tweet that he had to kill a raccoon because you had to make sure that it didn't have rabies,
right. That
this was going to get picked up, and now PETA is on this, and I understand what PETA is saying. I will actually give them this because it was not a mean-spirited, from what I saw, letter to the University of Nebraska. But organizations go overboard, and this is like, my God, you've got to bring the whole team in. You've got to have counseling. You've got to have sessions. And as I said, so did you want to make sure that a person didn't die or a raccoon didn't die? And that's where I'm a little worried that PETA
isn't sure what their answer would be. So, hey, Jack, I know they're back at practicing. I know he's been home since that incident, actually, and we found out that he's clean and clear and that there was no problems with the raccoon, but I don't think he will be taking any selfies. Although, may I say, the picture came out good. Yeah. I think it's funny.
As far as selfie goes,
Christmas card.
There are very few male selfies that are okay. That one was probably one of the better-looking male selfies out there. It did go awry on him, obviously. And the bottom line is that after he was bit, here's your choice. If you just go, well, it sucks to be me, and you don't get the raccoon, then you have just set yourself up for the rabies shots. You've got to get them, and you don't have a choice. And so I think at that point, Jack Anguish made the decision. I'm not sure I'd find a wrench, mind you, but he made the same decision that I think a logical person under those circumstances would find themselves that they have to do. They have to be able to bring in the animal to find out whether or not it's rabid. You just have to.
I just think it's too bad that this didn't happen like in October. Great Halloween costume.
Oh, yeah.
Put on the 95, grab a crescent wrench.
There you go.
Paint it red.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Coming up, Luke Hoover of RotoWire, rotowire.com. Get your fantasy football questions in. If you're still playing, then that means you're probably in the money in your league. So get some ideas and get some advice and fire it off to the Debt Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, or send us a tweet or Facebook. Of course, the Twitter address at ESPN. 1460-1550. T&L Irrigation wishing you and yours the happiest of holidays. They have been very pleased to be working with you and really love their customers. Take care of them. We keep talking about maybe checking out a new pivot system. Well, don't forget, if you are with T&L and maybe you have multiple pivot systems, takes a little work to get them taken care of on the winter, the preventative maintenance, to make sure that when you're ready to throw them back out there and get them going next spring, that you have exactly what you want. And go, I need to get it going. Save the time, save the pressure. Contact your local T&L dealer today or TLIRR.com. We're back to the UNK Health and Sports Center with more of the Winter Sports Luncheon after this.
Joy, a feeling of great happiness that's often given when helping others and doing what's right. If someone you know has spent the year giving the gift of joy, nominate them at fnbplatvalley.com/joy. We'll be drawing three winners for a $100 prepaid card between December 8th and 19th, so we can give back to those who give so much. Visit fnbplatvalley.com/joy. First National Bank, member FDIC.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty is proud to help bring a Merry Christmas to needy kids through the Buffalo County Goodfellows. Join the spirit of giving. Donations can be made online at kearneygoodfellows.org.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
Hi, it's Bo Huffman from your Kearney, Hastings, and Grand Island GNCs. I have been helping people with their health and nutrition needs for over 10 years, and GNC is a world leader in natural health and wellness products with an unmatched 75 years in the nutritional supplement industry. A reputation like ours is earned by providing superior products and service to every individual. Experience the difference firsthand, plus save 20% off your purchases every day at your Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs.
GNC. It's tough to see games like this coming to an end. 7 seconds to go. The Cougars have fought hard all night long, but they're down by two, and they have to get the ball back. Here we go. Johnson inbounding the ball, and it's tipped away. The Cougars have it. 3 seconds. 2 seconds. Here's a three out of the corner.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of basketball. Get big speed for a small price with the nation's largest fixed wireless network. With Prairie iNet, enjoy streaming games, movies, or video with no interruptions. So sign up for Prairie iNet today and get your choice of a free month of service or a $50 Amazon gift card. That's right, a free month of service or a $50 Amazon gift card just for signing up with Prairie iNet. Call Prairie iNet today at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
We'll be right back.
back on the Duncan Daddy Show live from the UNK Health and Sports Center, getting ready for the Winter Sports Luncheon. You'll be hearing from Loper coaches like Tom Kropp and Kevin Chaney and Mark Bauer and Teresa Osmansky, Brady Bonzel. You'll hear from Kearney High and UNK winter sports coaches as well today. Time for our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, outside of the national semifinals, which New Year's Bowl game is the best matchup? Half of them going for Michigan State Baylor, and then down to the Georgia Tech Mississippi State and TCU Ole Miss games. Today, we ask you, who is your pick to win the Heisman Trophy? Go to ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Who would you vote for if you had a vote for the Heisman Trophy?
You don't get to answer that because you actually have a vote.
Yeah, I
can't. So you
that.
Can't actually answer that until after.
I'll tell you Monday. College Football Live yesterday was interesting because Andre Ware, they started talking. There were some people out there talking about Amari Cooper and Melvin Gordon because everybody nationally just assumes, because every time they say Marcus Mariota, they say Heisman frontrunner. Why do you say that?
Well, enough people have been saying it that it appears that that's the case. I mean, I think, I think what you hear on ESPN and on Fox Sports, it gives you an indication that that's the direction, that kind of thought process, what they're doing.
Vote on Amari Cooper, Melvin Gordon, or Marcus Mariota. That's our Midtown Mart of Hastings cooler question.
It's time for a fantasy football update with fantasy football expert Luke Hoover of RotoWire.com. Send in your fantasy football questions now and let Luke guide your fantasy team to a championship.
Our fantasy football report brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, your fantasy football headquarters, where you can't look anywhere and not see a television. In fact, Randy, I always notice that they have found new places. I've sat in so many different places at Cunningham's. I go, whoa.
I didn't know there was one there.
And there's a couple times here this fall I went, that is awesome, because there's only like two tables that can see that TV, but those two tables can see that TV. Every NFL game is on at least one. The NFL Red Zone, NFL Sunday Ticket, free Wi-Fi to follow your fantasy football teams, and the coldest draft beer in town, Cunningham's Journal, and the Loft on the Bricks in downtown Kearney. Luke Hoover of RotoWire joins us today. Happy holidays, Luke. How's it going?
Going great. Looking forward to another fantasy playoff game.
Are you still alive in most of your leagues? How do you feel you've done this year?
A good amount of them. I still have a shot at semifinals in most of them. I'm not in any leagues that run to week 17, so just two more to go. Some hits and misses this year. Cordarrelle Patterson hurt me in a lot of leagues, but I was able to make some nice free agent pickups. That saved my season in a couple of them.
I have one league that I've made the semifinals in this week, and I am a huge underdog, so I'll probably need some help. But let's get to our listeners. And again, tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, and you can also Facebook us or email the Dent Popper inbox like Mark did. He says, Luke, could you pick one in a standard flex league, Stewart, Josh Gordon, Roddy White?
I really like what John Stewart was able to do last week, and I think Carolina's going to lean on him again, especially with Cam Newton out now, after the car accident, dealing with the back injury, that's going to sideline him with Derek Anderson going to be under center. Anderson played well in that first game, so I think they'll still move the football. Tampa Bay's defense has improved since then, but I still don't trust them entirely, and Stewart's running really well. At the same time, Gordon's going to have to deal with a new quarterback, and Roddy White, while he might get leaned on, he's still got an ankle injury.
Luke, kind of a general question. Did you go when you're in the playoffs? Do you approach it differently than you would a regular season game? I mean, do you go with kind of who brought you to this, or do you just kind of look more matchup? Do you go by the history or what the projections look like?
In a lot of cases, I did take that based on my opponent. Like you said before, if you're going to be heavily favored, then you play safe. If you're if you look like a major underdog, based on matchups and the roster on your opponent's team, sometimes I'll take a little bit more risk, some upside plays based on matchups. But typically I like to go, with a safer approach and, the best players that got me to that point. I'm going to roll the dice a little bit more during the season typically, until we start getting into those crunch times and those must-win games. But when it's a one-week season in the playoffs, give me the best, best talent. Obviously – with regards to the matchup, you know, if you got a superstar playing a really terrible team and a guy who's not much worse than him playing a, you know, great matchup with a weak defense, either running, you know, against the runner or the pass, you know, you can make those tough decisions. And so you have to factor that in as well.
Luke of RotoWire joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Eric says, Jeremy Hill or Latavius Murray?
Well, Hugh Jackson has come out for Cincinnati and said that he wants to ride one running back, that he feels like he needs to get a guy into a rhythm more. Given the play of Hill and Gio Bernard, I would think that could be Hill, but it's a bit risky to chance him, even as good as he is. Latavius Murray has established himself as the workhorse there for Oakland, at least for the rest of this season. And he's got a pretty nice matchup with the Kansas City team. He shredded, you know, the first time out. Granted, he got knocked out of that game, but he still had 112 yards and two scores, you know, obviously due to that 90-yard touchdown run. But, you know, he's a guy who's going to have some success against the defense, giving up the most yards per carry in the league. I'd go with Murray.
This guy has Brandon Marshall, so he needs to replace him. He goes, I need two starting wide receivers and then one at the flex, and he's going to give you five choices. T.Y. Hilton, Martavis Bryant, Kenny Stills, Andrew Hawkins, Steve Smith.
T.Y. Hilton's a no-brainer. He's one of the best receivers in football right now, and he absolutely destroyed Houston in their first matchup. I like Martavis Bryant as an upside guy in the playoffs. You know, he just had that huge score last week against Cincinnati, and that's the type of performance he can give you. He's got two touchdowns on the year now of at least 80 yards, seven touchdowns despite, you know, just a handful of catches on the year. So he's a big play guy with a great matchup against Atlanta in the dome, you know, in good conditions where I think he'll be productive. And then I like Kenny Stills. I mean, Steve Smith's a close one. If Torrey Smith winds up sitting out, he's dealing with a little bit of a knee injury. So that means they could lean more on Steve Smith, and that's something you might want to watch closely. But I like Kenny Stills in a matchup with a good, you know, a pretty terrible Bears secondary where I think Drew Brees bounces back.
Tyler wants to know, he's made it to the semifinals of a 16-team league. He needs one of the three, Benny Cunningham, Taliaferro, or Steven Taylor.
Well, none of those are particularly strong options.
Well, it's a 16-team league, so.
Yeah, it's a 16-team league, so that's tough. I guess you'd have to give a little bit of an edge to Taliaferro, who touched the ball last week, but he's dinged up right now, so you want to make sure you double-check his health going into that game. If he's active and he's going to be healthy, so he's dealing with a little bit of a foot injury, I'd give him a better chance against the Jags team that, you know, isn't going to keep up with Baltimore, so he might touch the football late while they rush Justin Forsett.
We are with Luke Hoover of RotoWire and RotoWire.com answering your fantasy football questions. Larry says, I have never been in a semifinal in any fantasy league I've ever been in, and I'm in two this year, so I'm going to send a loaded question at a few positions, and any help is appreciated. Tight end. Julius Thomas, Martellus Bennett, or Fleener?
Well, that's a tough one considering the health for Julius Thomas. That's really the main concern there. And he's been sitting out, and at this point it's kind of hard to trust him, especially given that that's a later kickoff, the 4 o'clock time for Denver. Fleener's been hot, but at the same time he can have some inconsistencies in the game. He doesn't have a great matchup, and with Dwayne Allen back in the lineup, he's going to steal some targets. Bennett has been pretty damn consistent all year. I'd probably roll with him and take a chance against the Saints. You know, they've had some success against tight ends most of the season, but just struggled containing Greg Olsen. And Bennett's a guy who's going to get a lot of targets at the very least, so you can count on him for some good yardage.
This should be a quick one. Quarterback Peyton Manning, Jay Cutler.
Yeah, that's definitely a quick one. Don't worry about the game last week against the Bills, Peyton Manning's going to be just fine.
Running back, Latavius Murray, Ryan Matthews, Andre Williams.
Well, Ryan Matthews is a little dinged up right now, and I don't particularly like the matchup with the Denver defense, but they need him. So I would probably lean towards him, except that you want to check that health again. Murray has a lot of upside, like we said earlier, so he's probably slightly ahead unless Ryan Matthews gets, you know, all clear for that game.
And here's an interesting one for you, Luke. This comes from Mark, and it looks like he's in a dynasty league. He's in the semifinals. He wants to win the championship. What do you think about this trade? Two first-rounders and Joe Flacco for Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking to win the league, then that's definitely a trade to make if you're getting Peyton Manning. You know, even in a dynasty format, I'd rather have Peyton Manning for one more year or two more years than Joe Flacco for however much longer you might have him. And, you know, you can always find another young upside quarterback once Peyton's retired.
Denard Robinson goes down. Would you consider playing Steven Jackson this week?
Absolutely. Steven Jackson's actually been quietly very productive for, you know, about a month and a half now. You know, just saw him have get in the end zone again against the Packers. And he's, you know, had his first 100-yard game of the season the week before versus Arizona. I like him to continue that against the Pittsburgh team. It's not particularly good against the run. You know, at the very least, especially with Julio Jones dinged up, he's going to touch the football as they try to, you know, keep Ben Roethlisberger and that explosive Steelers offense off the field.
Studs and duds, Luke, give me the guy that is a must-play this week. You threw out T.Y. Hilton as a high possibility. What do you like and what don't you like this week?
I mean, absolutely T.Y. Hilton, but he's sort of one of those guys that's a no-brainer. You're rolling him out every week. I decided to go a little bit on a limb this week for the stud. He's a guy you probably had on your bench all year, but if you own him or if he's available in your league, this would be the one week to take that chance. You know, again, like I said before, if you're your opponent looks like he's got, you know, going to have a big win against you, you can take that upside swing and play a guy like Chris Johnson. You know, he hasn't done a ton, but he had 100 yards a couple weeks back, had 35 total touches the last 2 weeks, 17 and 18 in those two games. And he's getting a Tennessee defense that he is pretty familiar with. You know, that revenge factor is certainly something to consider. It's going to be in Tennessee. You know, had a great career with them. The Jets are starting to give him the football a little bit more. And at the very least, Tennessee is one of the worst run defenses in football, giving up at least 130 yards and a score to four different running backs in their last six games. So I really like Chris Johnson to have a nice game, even if he only gets 15 touches. I think he's got 100 total yards in him this week. As far as the dud, a name I hate to say since I have him in every league, you know, I'm really leery of Golden Tate this week. Put up a ton of yards already this season, on pace for about 1,400, you know, definitely a career year. But with Calvin Johnson in the lineup, he's got just 100-yard game. Minnesota also held him in check the first time they played, held him to 6.3 yards per catch, easily his low for the year, under 50 yards. And he's been decreasing in terms of yardage for 3 weeks now. I think he struggles a little bit and underperforms, you know, in the playoffs.
Luke, obviously a couple of different quarterback stories making the news. Manziel making the start, the injury to Cam Newton. Not necessarily asking the question about the quarterback position, but does that impact maybe some guys that you would play with the Panthers or with the Browns?
Not necessarily. Like I said before, Derek Anderson started against Tampa, his one only game that he played the full contest. This year had a nice performance, a couple touchdowns, one to Kelvin Benjamin, one to Greg Olsen. And those are really the only two skill guys outside of Jonathan Stewart that you're going to play. You know, like I said before, I think John Stewart keeps getting the football. He's running well. You know, that also might be to protect Derek Anderson from some of the mistakes he's made in the past. So I don't worry about that Carolina offense. As far as Cleveland, I think Manziel will, you know, give them some life, certainly. I would be more worried about the matchup than about Manziel. I think he'll be productive, and in two quarterback leagues, I'd even upgrade him as a starter. I think he does some damage with his legs this week. But, you know, Josh Gordon struggled last two games, just 15 yards last week, looking a little bit rusty, and that Bengals defense has really held receivers in check all season, only 7 touchdowns to wide receivers.
All right, got another question. This one on the quarterback position. Play Matt Ryan or Big Ben?
Funny question. I actually have to make that decision in a pretty tight matchup myself in the semifinals. And at this point, I'm leaning towards Roethlisberger, and obviously in part because of Julio Jones' injury with the hip. I still think he'll play, and I expect him to be pretty productive. Steelers have given up a lot of big plays recently to wide receivers. But I give Roethlisberger a little bit of an edge just because of how bad that Atlanta defense is. I think Le'Veon Bell, you know, really helps them move the ball. He's going to have more shots at the end zone, more red zone opportunities to put points on the board.
All right. Outstanding, Luke. Hey, best of luck to you in all your leagues where you're still alive and kicking, bud.
Thank you. Same to you guys.
All right, thanks. That's Luke Hoover of RotoWire helping us out with our fantasy football challenge. And best of luck to you if you guys are still involved in the playoffs. I am not. And if you are, best of luck to you coming up. Don't forget that you're all involved. If you want to hop back on board with the Fantasy Football Challenge, all you have to do is log on to ESPNSuperstation.com, click on the Doug and Daddy Show Cunningham's Journal Fantasy Football banner, just simply log in. It is a floating salary cap league, so you can start all over, have a brand new team. If you haven't done it all year, you can still get in and have the same chance of winning as everybody else. But with those floating salary cap leagues, better the player, the higher the price, you can set a new team up each week. And remember, the value of players does change each week, so you need to be sure to stay underneath your salary cap. And, of course, if you win one individual week, you'll be entered in to win a, if you win the week, you get a $25 gift card to Cunningham's Journal. And all the winners are then entered into a drawing for a $200 Super Bowl party for you and your friends. And, of course, you have those ever illustrious bragging rights as well on the Doug and Daddy Show Cunningham's Football Challenge. Just log on to ESPNSuperstation.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be wrapping things up here from the Health and Sports Center right after this.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts or illnesses,
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagra.com.
Santa wears Husker red, and so can you, along with a lot of other colors from TM Sporting Goods in the downtown Kearney Center. Santa and you might also consider Under Armour for crisp outdoor jaunts. If you have a player on your Christmas list, see Steve and Tino for expert advice on equipment and accessories for every sport and the know-how to help you buy right. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design, and like them on Facebook for daily holiday specials.
This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get 80% lean ground beef in 5-pound bags, only $3.28 a pound. Smithfield Hickory Smoked Half Hams, $1.88 a pound. And a 2.5-pound bag of frozen chicken party wings, only $5.49 each. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
You want action. You want excitement.
This place is going nuts.
You want the ultimate adrenaline rush. Then you want the one and only PBR.
The Midway Auto Dealership's PBR Challenge coming to the Buffalo County Fairgrounds Saturday, December 13th at 7:30. Featuring great riders and tougher bulls than you'd ever expect. Brought to you by Casey's General Stores, Rouse Farm Equipment, Taco John's, Cunningham's Journal, Bud Light, and JR's Western. Don't miss this year's Midway Auto Dealership PBR Challenge, December 13th at 7:30.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
And welcome back here to the Health and Sports Center, the Nebraska, ongoing discussion here of the Loper Luncheon. Of course, UNK, their coaches are talking. Kearney Catholic coaches will be talking here in a little bit. So will Kearney High coaches coming up here during the Loper Luncheon. Just getting underway, so you still have plenty of time to get in to all that here at the UNK Health and Sports Center. We have a couple of emails into the Dent Popper inbox. First one is from Delusional Husker Fan, and he says, "It seems to me that PETA doesn't really know what happened. Jack was the soft-hearted person wanting a picture with the cute, cuddly coon. It was the coon that was the violent party. I think all cute, cuddly animals that feel the need to attack innocent humans that just want an adorable photo are the ones who need anger management treatment. Jack was the victim here. I think PETA needs to put signs on all cute, cuddly animals with anger management problems to keep this from happening to future victims. Signed, delusional Husker fan. I like just the little element of snarkiness that you have in there. And you know what? I don't think it matters to PETA at all. They would still have some sort of complaint about that, no doubt about it. I also have an email here from John. Two players looking to transfer to Kentucky, Courtney Love and Trey Greg Hart. And that's the discussion. I think Mike Bruns of 24-Hour Sports said that Love was at practice yesterday, but Hart was not. So there could be something to that. You know, that's the nature of what Kentucky is. They recruit absolutely the best players that all want to make it into the NBA. And, again, if they don't feel like they're going to get enough playing time for whatever reason to show off their skills to get themselves into the NBA, they may very well want to take their ball and go home someplace else. I would not be surprised to see that, but that's a little bit of what Kentucky's doing right now. That's a little bit of what they have signed up for. So it will be interesting to see what happens with Hart and Love. And, in fact, all of that very deep, talented class that they've been able to bring into Kentucky. So, again, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see that happening from time to time, but that's just the nature of what Kentucky has signed up for in terms of trying to get all their one and dones. So that's going to do that for that, and I think we're wrapping things up here as the Midway broadcast booth is closing up shop here at the UNK Health and Sports Center. Don't forget the Loper Luncheon currently going on right now, and certainly want to say thanks to the athletic director here at UNK, Paul Polinsky, for joining us to talk about, among other things, the head coaching search at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. And again, he said that we're on schedule to get this one done before the Christmas break, and the clock is ticking on that. So news must be on the way here in the near future. And I also want to say thanks to Luke Hoover from RotoWire for joining us for our fantasy football questions and answers. And don't forget to sign up for the Doug and Daddy Fantasy Football Challenge, courtesy of Cunningham's Journal. I'm Randy Bushgar. Thanks for joining us here from the Health and Sports Center. Don't forget that tomorrow Doug will be back in studio. And, of course, our Friday football fix, as Jim Langham will come in and give you some of those picks to help make you a little bit of money. Thanks for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be back tomorrow at 11. See ya.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.